The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And on our guest line this morning, like every Tuesday, Congressman William Timmons. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning. Great to be with you. Doing all right.
Let's just jump right in. There's lots to talk about. Let's start with the H.R. 1, what the Democrats are calling the For the People Act. Now, you call it something differently, I believe.
Yeah, we're calling it the For the Politicians Act. And you know, I just want to point out that in my entire life, we have never had the lowest level, what I would call of trust in our election integrity. What we just saw in the presidential election, all the different states changing their election laws right before to reduce requirements for proving that you were eligible to vote, they reduced requirements that you actually knew who voted. So, I mean, all of these changes occurred. The Supreme Court just determined they're not going to take up the Pennsylvania case, which blew my mind. So now here we are just days later, and they want to overhaul election laws in this country to make it even less to decrease public trust in our election laws. It's incredible. Yeah. Like all the things that's in H.R. 1, outside of publicly funding elections, it reduces requirements for showing that you are who you say you are when you vote. And it precludes states from actually making sure that the people that are voting are who they say they are. It's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get this argument. Now, what are some of your Democrat colleagues, as this is being discussed, I mean, what is their reason to be so adverse to just simply having someone show their ID so that it can be verified that they actually are who they say they are, that they're the person voting?
It's a racially based argument from the 50s and 60s that they're just still holding on to. They say that if you are a minority, you are less likely to have an ID. So if we make you show an ID, then we are disenfranchising minority communities, which is ridiculous because you have to show an ID to do anything now. Yeah. And everyone has an ID. And this whole premise that certain communities are less likely to have identification is ridiculous. I mean, but that's what they're going to hang their hat on, and they're going to make the best argument they can, because if this passes, which it won't, if they get $25 from someone, they're going to get matched by the government 6-1. So if someone gives me $25 to my campaign to run for re-election, I'm going to get 6 times that from the government to match it, to try to counter, allegedly, the impact of political action committees, which, by the way, are funded by voters. So, yes. It's wild.
So a $25, did I hear you just say that?
Said it. Joey, if you wrote me a check for $25, the government's going to give me $150.
Wow.
I mean, and by the way, there's also it's a pilot program, but it really is what they want. The government will give every voter a $25 voucher, and then that $25 voucher will get matched 6-1. So for every person, I mean, if I had 1,000 people that were supporting me, I could get their $25 voucher each, plus the $150 from the government. I can't do math, but I guess that's $175,000 right there.
That's amazing. So what is the purpose of that? Why do they, I mean, well, obviously, they would get money in their campaign coffers. But again, like you just said, you know, that's kind of part of the political process. You can tell how far a candidate's going to go by their fundraising.
You can, and apparently that's not fair. Anyone that wants to run for office should be able to run for office. Honestly, the worst part of this job is trying to ask people to financially support you, calling your parents and your cousins and your friends and saying, I need ask you for a campaign contribution and trying to tell them that this is why they should do it. That's the worst part of this job. So let's just do away with that and let the government pay for everybody to run for office. They would create a cottage industry of perennial candidates that never actually expected to win, but all the people that they were in their campaign apparatus would be cush job, and they'd only be working, I guess, 6 months every 2 years. That's not bad.
Yeah. So how does H.R. 1 address absentee voting and mail-in voting?
It essentially, all the changes that were made that caused reasonable people to question the outcome of certain states' elections would become mandatory, and it would do that in states that have not adopted those laws as well.
Yeah. So can a state legislature, let's say if you have a state legislature who says, no, that's not what we want, can a state legislature override H.R. 1 if it were to pass?
My understanding, and again, it's not going to pass, but my understanding is it supersedes it. So, I mean, the whole theory is that states' rights allow the state legislatures to determine how state elections occur. Obviously, in the November election, we saw that judges and executive appointments were overriding that. So that's obviously one of the big challenges we had with the November election. But they want to essentially codify that federally and just say that the Congress is going to create these rules that really just disregard state voter identification laws. I saw on the news yesterday, I was walking in the airport, it was CNN, and it said, Georgia state adopts legislation that restricts voters' rights. And this is the thing. If you want to say me expecting to be able to determine that the person that says they are who they say they are when they vote, if that's a restriction on voter rights, I'm all for that. I mean, and the fact that the Georgia state legislature is now going to do away with all of the ridiculous things that Stacey Abrams got adopted through the judicial process, that's what should happen. That is the right thing to do. And it should have never been any different. So, if CNN wants to call that restricting voter rights, I call it restoring public trust in our election integrity. So,
yeah, it just drives me insane when I hear comments like that, and they talk about that it's limiting access for voters to go to the polls and all. Look, when people want to do something, they find a way to do it, and there's nothing easier than showing up on election day, going to your poll, showing your ID to the poll worker, and casting your vote. I mean, that's how we have done it for a few hundred years now, and it's worked, and I don't see why we need to be changing this. All right, let's switch gears here for a minute. President Biden's administration, they're trying to convince us that there's no crisis at the border.
Well, when you reverse the wait and remain in Mexico policy, so you can apply for asylum here, but you got to go back across the border and wait until your asylum request is granted. When you reverse that policy, it just turns the spigot back on. And now you got hundreds of thousands of people all over Central America that are going to start coming here again. And it's just absurd. And I mean, we got a wall up around the Capitol with razor wire, and the President Biden has stopped construction of the wall on our southern border. That's the priority. I've been using the phrase common sense is uncommon in Washington during the Biden administration.
Wow. Speak of common sense. I mean, it is common sense to think that if, as this message permeates the South America, that hey, there's a new president there and he's opened his arms wide, you're welcome, that it's only going to get worse as people come to our border and they want to come into our country.
And the media is just so complicit. It was kids in cages, kids in cages, kids in cages, and now it is children in temporary soft-sided storage containers, like whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's laughable. The whole thing's laughable. But so I went down to McAllen, Texas. It was actually about 2 years ago, and they showed us what was going on. They drove us to a number of these different temporary facilities that they had to construct to address overflow. And it was a crisis because when they got there, when they got across the border, they were processed and let to go anywhere in the country. We bought them a plane ticket, wherever they wanted to go. So Trump ended that, and we're going back to that. And I can promise you it's going to cause more people to come.
Congressman William Timmons, always good to speak with you. Be safe out there, and we'll catch up again next week.
Yes, sir. You be well. Take care.
All right. Sure thing.